It's time for Inside Sports Medicine on 103.3 FM ESPN with your host, Dr. T.O. Soriel, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Get your sports medicine questions ready and call 855-787-1033.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. We're going to go right to the phones, 855-787-1033. We're going to give Dr. Mayer an opportunity to answer some text questions as well. Hey, Mike, good morning. What's up?
Hey, first-time caller, long-time listener, huge fan.
Thank you.
I have an interesting scenario here. I am a field hockey coach, and I have a player who's been dealing with an injury for quite some time, specific to their patella. And we've gone back and forth. I've been trying to help the parents. They've been spooked by the whole situation, which was sustained. Basketball, she also plays basketball as well. And it was a scenario that nothing traumatic, but it was just enough to where it lingered, and I think it just progressed from there. And so they had went and they've gone to see, and they've had two different opinions, and both times there was recommended for her to go through physical therapy. And here we are about 9 months into this, and just it seems like nothing has gotten better. And so I'm wondering, you know, obviously the I'm trying to help advise them, but I'm not, I'm their coach, right? I'm just trying to think, hey, if this isn't working, we need to go to plan B here. And so I'm wondering, you know, the information they've shared with me on the MRI is that it's nothing serious or nothing that has required anything immediate. But I'm wondering if something like this is common, you know, I'm kind of just trying to help grasp for some answers for them, because this is obviously prolonged to this point, and it seems like they're kind of spinning in circles here, and definitely appreciate y'all's time.
Well, so you have a disadvantage, and we have a disadvantage as well. Number one, it's a radio show. Number two, we don't really know what the exact diagnosis is, and so it's very difficult to come up with a treatment plan or recommendation if we don't know exact diagnosis. Patellar problems could be as simple as tendonitis, or it could be as complicated as instability, which means that it's shifting in and out of place. And that being said, if I'm understanding your question correctly, how much time do you give to a conservative approach? Is 6 months, 9 months, 12 months? How much time do you give to a conservative approach before you go to plan B? And that depends on what the diagnosis is.
Yep.
So the disadvantage you have, Coach, is that you may not be given the accurate diagnosis to move forward with it. Patellar instability, which means the kneecap shifts in and out of place, that's one of the most difficult things that I treat, because there's not a really good answer for it. Now, may or may disagree, but there's not a really good
answer.
That
seems to be the pattern today.
Yeah. I love the way you prefaced that. May or may disagree.
I've been around him for 3 years. I already know. So
I'm sure there's a study he can quote.
There's a study that you can get a study to quote.
There was a giraffe that had
kneecap problems.
So, Mike, exactly. So the problem.
Yeah, all the giraffes have malalignment.
So the problem, Mike, is that you don't have the accurate diagnosis. If it's tendonitis, then maybe we wait another few months.
I know the player has made that comment that they feel like, for example, I've kept her out of all kind of practices, everything, and she's gone through this times now, but I've kind of let her know, hey, you know, come out, give it a, you know, we'll do a little dynamic warm-up, see if you can handle that, and then just kind of take it easy. And so we get into, like, our high knees, just to get her heart rate up, and she complains of, well, no, I can hear it popping, and I believe it is where it is that patella is moving around.
It's unstable, yeah. Patellar instability in adolescent girls is unfortunately common, and it's very, very hard to treat. And I commend the first two doctors who recommended therapy, because that's probably the first place to start. But the question you asked, and what most moms and dads ask, well, how long do we before we go to plan B? And I don't know that. I don't know that.
I'm going to say you're there.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're there. 9 months, maybe you're there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it depends, as all, like we always talk about, is the diagnosis. Because if it's a tendonitis You know, it might be a little more rest. It might be you haven't had enough rest. You know, if it's something more, then, you know, well, it might be something surgical. But it, again, it all goes back to diagnosis.
And I'm going to say something really controversial, Dr. Mayer. Sometimes you got to wait for them to finish their growth spurt.
So let's
because you're not going to get rid of the tendonitis while they're still growing.
All right, let's go try and go back to the diagnosis.
Thanks, Mike.
Did they ever have a dislocation of the kneecap, or is this one of these that just keeps shifting out and it just
she feels it.
Yeah, it's only been, there hasn't been anything as traumatic as that. This has just been something that's shifting around and just giving her a lot of pain. She's been wearing a brace, and she's been continuing to go to therapy, but it just seems like even something as simple as doing a high knee exercise, it just really gets her trouble.
Yeah, I'd be happy to see her. Let me just put it to you that way.
All right.
I'd be happy to see her.
He's a coach. He can't do that.
Refer her, recommend Texas Sports Medicine.
It is a common surgery I do if needed, if indicated, okay? And so
I'm glad you said if, because I can't believe you jumped to see when you don't even know what's going on from a coach.
If and if.
Thanks, I'm Mike.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye. Let's go to Harold from Allen. Hey, Harold, good morning. What's up?
Hello. I have a question about my knee.
Fire away.
Okay, I heard it in high school when I was 17. I'm 67 now. But so I tore the medial collateral ligament. And there's bone on one side, the inside of my left knee. Now, I'm active, so I play tennis, and I run once a week and walk several other times. I heard about a procedure where they can insert, and I'm not in pain. I heard about a procedure where they can insert some kind of cushion between the knees so there won't be bone on bone and any more damage. So I'm wondering if I'm eligible for that procedure.
Yeah. Okay, so that actually is a fad that came and went. I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, we were putting in these inserts into the medial knee to kind of bump it up a little bit. Problem is they didn't work and they fell apart. So if you're not having pain, I think you
can. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Just keep plugging away. But the spacer, I think it was called the spacer.
That's what I heard about.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure that people are still doing that.
Okay. Are there any other things I could do?
Well, if you were having pain or if you were having a lot of deformity, a lot of times what happens when the inside part of your knee wears out, you start becoming bow-legged. And you weren't born bow-legged, but you become bow-legged. And so that's called a deformity. And there is what's called a partial knee replacement for that, where you can do that. But it would have to be for severe deformity and severe pain. And look, it's a radio show, so I can't really give you any opinions on that. But I can tell you that the spacer's not been it hadn't worked as well as people thought it would.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Oh, I should have asked him where 832 area code is. Where's the 832 area
Houston.
Code? Is it?
Yeah.
Excellent. So we need to lighten things up a little bit.
Text.
Text question.
Dr. Mary is busy trying to get our audio set up.
The audio feed is wrong for Facebook, and I'm trying to.
That's all right. Let him finish. I got a question because we can talk about the question we were talking about earlier. So I've got so a friend of mine. We were talking last night. We were together, and he was telling me about his son who is in middle school, and they're getting a MRI for the knee. Now, situation is this, son plays a lot of sports, very active, plays football, and has been over the last several months, if maybe up to a year, having some knee pain in the very front of the knee.
Okay.
So they're getting an MRI of the knee. There's a specific diagnosis that they told me, but I want to review this with you guys, and I told them my opinion. But the diagnosis of possible meniscus tear came up in a, I want to say maybe 12, 13-year-old. And so what are you guys' thoughts about meniscus tears in pediatrics, pediatric patients around middle school age where the growth plates are still open? Is this something you guys see often? You know, what would be your recommendation in something like this?
So I'm going to take it since Mayor is preoccupied.
Yes.
this is my 31 years of experience. Common things occur commonly. when we think of a meniscus, which is the cushion, so you've got the femur, the tibia, that makes up the knee. They don't really touch. There's a cushion on the big toe side of the knee called the medial meniscus. There's a cushion on the outside part of the knee called the lateral meniscus, and they're about, I don't know, a quarter inch thick, and they're there as cushions. As we get older, 50s, 60s, 70s, that tissue becomes more friable. And I've had old people my age squat down to pet a dog and tear a meniscus. But that does not happen in the teenage population. So you don't get a small radial tear in a youngster. Usually a youngster, if they're going to tear the meniscus, it's a traumatic event. I was playing football. I got caught up on the line of scrimmage. Somebody twisted my knee and voila. It's not knee pain that develops. So common things occur commonly. I can't tell you that I have seen an atraumatic meniscus tear in a middle schooler in my 31 years of practice.
Now, let me ask another question. What is the value of an MRI?
It's going to tell you that you don't have it. That's what it's going to tell you. It's going to tell you that you don't have a meniscus
tear. Okay, great. So let's just say, you know what? Meniscus tear is not on the differential diagnosis or a list of things we're talking about. But okay, if somebody continues to have pain on the front of the knee and has been diagnosed with Osgood-Schlatter's, and just very, very quickly, it's a growth plate irritation. Okay, it's a growth plate inflammation, if you will, of that we see often in pediatrics that we typically don't do an MRI for. But if this is still happening chronically over the course of a year, dealing with it off and on, would you get an MRI, and what's the value of it?
I don't normally get an MRI for that. If I do get an MRI, it's not to confirm Osgood-Schlatter's, it's to rule out other things. So in my opinion, I don't typically get an MRI on a middle schooler if their diagnosis is classic and it's in the front and everything fits. You get an MRI if things don't fit.
Gotcha.
So if something's not right, yeah, nothing wrong with an MRI. I mean, most of the time insurance covers it and voila. But Brittany asked me to talk about Osgood-Schlatter's, believe it or not. She's the one that asked for that Achy Breaky Heart song, but she asked to talk about Osgood-Schlatter's, and at some point maybe I'll save it for episode 700 when I'm by myself.
You're already making notes for next week.
I am making notes for next week. But it's a growth plate problem, and as long as that growth plate is open and the youngster is still athletic and growing, they're going to have Osgood-Schlatter symptoms. So if it lingers and people are starting to get concerned, you need to understand what Osgood-Schlatter's is.
Yeah, and I think there was just a miscommunication. And again, we talk about communicating expectation. Right. Being able to communicate effectively what to expect from the diagnosis, because if the patient's still expecting things to get better and they're expecting something completely different than what we know and are familiar with, well, then they'll continue to be like, well, why am I not better? This has been going on for a long time. And that was a conversation I had with my friend last night, is I think maybe expectation just wasn't set very well for this diagnosis.
Communication. You're right. They didn't communicate early on what's going on. All right, so we need to go on a quick little break. And guess what? We told you that KD wasn't coming back. And
told you so.
We told you, KD.
We all agree on that.
We all agreed on that one. And did you know that Chuck Norris has his own brand of water?
That's awesome. I gotta get some. I gotta put some in my racetrack coffee.
We're gonna develop.
Is it gonna compete with sports water?
I think it will.
We gotta talk about it.
No, it probably doesn't have as doesn't have as much H and twos and O's in it. Yeah, sports water
doesn't have the right combination.
The balance,
the right ratio.
It's slightly off.
It doesn't hydrate you as well.
Yeah. If it's off.
Ours is so good. Our sports water is so good, especially when it's cold.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. It's
the perfect. It's got to be
optimum temperature.
The optimum temperature, and it's for
performance,
and it's FDA cleared.
Oh, FDA approved?
No,
cleared.
FDA cleared.
Oh, when we come back, you have to tell me what that means.
You got it.
Quick little break.
Actually, this is very important, pertinent medically.
Coming right back.